In chapter 14, we see Joshua distributing the inheritance to the tribes of Israel. And in verse 3, we are told that their inheritance was by lot. Now, as many of you know, casting lots was a custom in that day. And it is believed that they used a clay jar, and they had stones that were either marked or precious stones. They would shake it up and toss it out, and the lot was cast. And it's like drawing straws or flipping a coin, that type of thing. However, casting lots was not a game of chance. We are told, pardon me, in Proverbs 16:33, that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And that is also true for us. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. The family we are born into, the country we live in, the state we live in, the neighborhood we live in, the church we are attending, and even this Bible study. And sometimes we question our lot. I had a very difficult childhood, as many of you guys probably did. And I remember asking the Lord one day, "Why did you have to give me those parents?" Now, he didn't answer me, because I know the answer. God doesn't make mistakes. His ways are perfect. He makes my way perfect. And he used those parents to conform me into his image and to make me the person that I am today. So my parents were part of my lot. God determines our lot, and God is good. So we can say with David, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." And that's Psalm 16:6. So what was the inheritance of the Israelites? God had told Joshua in chapter 1, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you." So the lots were cast, and each tribe received their inheritance. But at the end of verse 3, we see this. But to the Levites, he had given no inheritance. They received no material inheritance. They received no land. And when we think of inheritance, we often think of material things, don't we? Some of us have received an inheritance. Some of us have lost it, or spent it, or had it stolen from us. Jesus tells us not to set our heart on material things. So why is that? In Matthew 6:19 through 21, we are told the reason. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God wants our hearts and minds set on things above and not on the things of this earth. Because material things pass away, but eternal things last forever. And some of us can have material wealth and keep our eyes on the Lord, and some of us cannot. Sometimes God withholds material blessings from us because he wants to give us something better. In Psalm 47:4, we are told he will choose our inheritance for us. So what is our spiritual inheritance? We are told in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, how many of you, like me, have read every spiritual blessing and you haven't really stopped to think about it or to really look at it? Sometimes we do, but most of the time we kind of scan past that, don't we? In that one passage, it says that we are chosen by God himself. We're holy and blameless because of Jesus. We're loved by God unconditionally. There is absolutely nothing we can do to lose his love. He will always love us. We're loved. We're adopted into his family forever. We're accepted in the beloved. That means we're never rejected. God would never reject us. We're redeemed through the blood of Jesus. We have forgiveness for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And the riches of his grace abounds towards us. That means that we receive undeserved favor in abundance. In abundance. He's made known to us the mystery of his will. We have heard the good news. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise who guarantees our inheritance. The Holy Spirit guarantees our inheritance. So we're never going to lose it. We know the hope of our calling, and we are the riches of his inheritance. We are the riches of his inheritance. That's Jesus. And think about this. Jesus brought us back to God through his death on the cross. And then God handed us back to Jesus as his inheritance. And we have the exceeding greatness of his power. And I found a website where a man had meditated on and studied that phrase, every spiritual blessing, and he came up with 78. I'm not going to read them all, but this is a few that he had listed. Justification, just as if I'd never sinned. No condemnation, ever. Spiritual refreshment, victory, fellowship with God, fellowship with believers, promise of glorification, cure for anxiety, fruitfulness, joy, hope, peace, wisdom, God's truth. Jesus interceding for us with the Father always. And our name is written in heaven. But there's more to our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance. The God of the universe, the holy creator of all things, is our Father. He's our Father. Through Jesus, we have access to God the Father anytime. He's always with us. He's never too busy. He always listens to every word we say. We can tell him anything. He knows everything anyway. He will never leave us. He will never hurt us. And he's only good to us. But there's more. We are joint heirs with Christ. That means that we share with Jesus everything he has. Everything Jesus has is ours. We're joint heirs. Just like the Father said to the Son in Luke 15:31, Jesus has said to us, all that I have is yours. All that Jesus has is ours. And that's our inheritance. And I can't even wrap my mind around that one. Can you? All that Jesus has is ours. I just know that all that he has is exceedingly abundantly above anything I could ask for or think about. It's a lot. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, we are told, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. There's a lot to our inheritance. Our inheritance includes heaven. Heaven will be our permanent home. We will live there forever. There'll be no more pain, no more tears. And my favorite part is we will have perfect relationships. Isn't that going to be awesome? Perfect relationships. And there's more. Just as God told Joshua, there remains very much land to be possessed. There's still much more to our inheritance. Remember in verse 3, we were told, but to the Levites he had given no inheritance. When we look back to Joshua 13:33, we see, but to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. And we read in Numbers 18:20, then the Lord said to Aaron, who was of the tribe of Levi, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. God told them that instead of inheriting the land, he himself would be their inheritance and their portion. And he provided everything they needed through the rest of the tribes who were required to support them. Did you know that? And you'll find that in Deuteronomy 12:19. Which ties in with one of our promises in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We seek God first. He takes care of everything else. With God as their portion and inheritance, they were richer than anyone else. Our true riches are found in God himself. He is our portion. And that's what that song was about. I'd rather have Jesus than riches or gold. From Gill's commentary, "The Lord is the portion of his people in life and in death, in time and to eternity. All he is and has is theirs. They are heirs of him and shall enjoy him forever. He is a portion large and full, inexpressibly rich and great, a soul-satisfying one, and will last forever." Now, a portion is usually defined as a limited amount. We get a portion of food, and it's a limited amount. But with God, with God as our portion, there are no limits. In Psalm 36, verses 5 and 6, we are told, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. There is no limit to his mercy, his faithfulness, and his righteousness." That's what that verse says. No limit. We cannot exhaust the supply of our portion. There's an old hymn, "He giveth more grace." His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary, known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. His grace is sufficient, and he will give us all the grace we need. In Lamentations 3:22, we are told, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." Remember when Pastor Chuck would sing the old hymn, "The Love of God"? He would be in the middle of his sermon, and he'd just break out in song. "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song." His love for us and his mercy for us never comes to an end. Throughout all eternity, he will love us. What about his thoughts towards us? In Psalm 40, verse 5, we are told, "Your thoughts towards us, they are more than can be numbered." We are never out of his thoughts. He never forgets about us. And God, who is our portion, is infinite. Infinite means boundless, unlimited, never-ending, impossible to measure or calculate. His understanding is infinite, Psalm 147:5. His greatness is unsearchable, Psalm 145:3. If we want to know how great our portion is, we just have to read the Psalms. Most of what David wrote about was about the greatness of God. I love the Psalms. He was a man after God's heart because he pursued God and he wanted the biggest portion he could get. He was just one of those men. David said in Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And in Lamentations 3:24, we are told, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." Whatever happens in the world, we are always going to have him as our portion. And would you agree that if we have him, we need nothing else? In the biggest crisis of my life, I heard Jesus say to me, "No matter what happens here, you're going to be okay because you have me." And in that moment, by his grace, I believed him. And he proved it to be more than true. He is and was my portion. Let me ask it another way. If we lost everything, is he enough? There was a man named Horatio Spafford who lived in the late 1800s, and his only son was killed by scarlet fever at the age of 4. A year later, he was ruined financially by the Great Chicago Fire. 1 year after that, he decided that he and his family needed a break, so he planned a trip to England. His wife and 4 daughters left before him, and the ship they were traveling on struck another ship and sunk and killed his 4 daughters. His wife survived and sent him a telegram that read, "Saved alone." When he heard the news, he left for England to join his wife. And as the ship was that he was on passed the place where his daughters had perished, the captain called him to the bridge and he said, "A careful reckoning has been made, and I believe we are now passing the place where the ship your daughters were on was wrecked. The water is 3 miles deep." That night in his cabin, Horatio Spafford wrote the lyrics to one of the most famous hymns of all time, "It Is Well With My Soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford could say with all certainty, after losing everything, that the lot was cast into the lap, but its every decision was from the Lord. He could say with all certainty, after losing everything, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." He could say with all certainty that God is a portion, large and full, a soul satisfying one. Because he wrote the words, "It is well with my soul." What our mind can't understand will be settled in our soul when we know him as our portion. No matter what happens in our life, we're going to be okay because we have him. He is our portion. And his name is I Am. God tells us in his word, "I am enough for anything you face in this life. My resources will never run out, for the world is mine in all of its fullness." When our portion is God himself, he is everything we need. Jesus has told us that every spiritual blessing is yours, is ours. He has told us, "All I have is yours, and heaven is your home." That is our inheritance. And Jesus has told us, "I am your exceeding great reward." That is our portion. Our lot is determined by the Lord, our inheritance is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit, and our portion is Jesus himself. So what should our response be? Like Joshua and Caleb, if we wholly follow the Lord, we will receive all that he has for us. To wholly follow the Lord, what does that mean to you? For me, it's to have an undivided heart. I can get so distracted from spiritual things. For example, just last night I wanted to watch Billy Graham's story, An Extraordinary Journey. I forgot about it, and I watched a series on Amazon instead. And I went to bed with empty thoughts, and I couldn't sleep. And I actually had the thought to go back out and turn the TV on again, which wouldn't have been very good at that point. But instead, I listened to a Bible study about the life of Paul and his relentless pursuit of God and his fearless proclamation of the gospel. Now, who does that sound like? Billy Graham. He was a man who wholly followed the Lord. Wouldn't we all agree with that? So much talk about that and so much truth in that. He wholly followed the Lord. And although we aren't all called to the life that he had, I believe we are called to much more than we have right now. So what is the something more that God is calling you to do? Whatever it is, God is calling us to do it with all of our heart, to wholly follow him. And if we will wholly follow the Lord, we will receive all that he has for us. We will receive all of the promises, all of our inheritance, and all of our portion. There is still much more land to be possessed. And it's all right here in God's word. As far as the eye can see, it's ours for the taking. Let's pray. through faith. Ours for the taking through faith. Father, we just thank you so much for your word and for your lot and for your inheritance and that you are our portion, that you choose. The lot falls into the lap, but every decision is from you, and that our inheritance is you and heaven and so much more, all the spiritual blessings, and that you are our portion, Lord. Help us to walk in that. And if there's anything that you want us to do to more wholly follow you, I pray that we'd be willing and that you would give us the power to do that. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.